And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, it's May 7th. I'm coming up on 2 months sitting behind these doors. You know, a lot of stores advertise about delivering and you can pick up at the curb. One that doesn't mean what it says is Sam's Club. I placed an order, arranged to pick it up. And they said, you have to come in the store and go back to the pharmacy. Well, what do you find around the pharmacy? Folks who are ill, there to get medication. So I wound up having to cancel the order, talk to their home office, who was going to have somebody call me. Well, I've been waiting all day and nobody's called, so apparently they don't care. As I said, today's May 7th, the 127th day of the year, according to the Gregorian calendar. Year 351, the Jewish revolt against Constantius Gallus breaks out after his arrival to Antioch. 558, in Constantinople, the Dome of the Hagia Sophia collapses 20 years after its construction. Justinian I immediately orders the dome be rebuilt. 1274 in France, the Second Council of Lyon opens to regulate the election of the Pope. 1487, Siege of Malaga commences during the Spanish Reconquista. 1664, Louis XIV of France begins construction of the Palace of Versailles. 1685, the Battle of Brjelica between rebels and Ottoman forces. 1697, Stockholm's Royal Castle, which dates back to the medieval times, is destroyed by fire. It's replaced in the 18th century by the current Royal Palace. 1718, the city of New Orleans is founded by Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne, Sieur de Benville. 1763, Pontiac's War begins with Pontiac's attempt to seize Fort Detroit from the British. 1794, the French Revolution, Robespierre introduces the cult of the Supreme Being in the National Convention as the new state religion of the French First Republic. 1824, world premiere of Ludwig van Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in Vienna. Performance is conducted by Michael Umloff under the composer's supervision. 1832, Greece's independence is recognized by the Treaty of London. 1840, the great Natchez tornado strikes Natchez, Mississippi, killing 317 people. Second deadliest tornado in U.S. history. 1846, the Cambridge Chronicle, America's oldest surviving weekly newspaper, is published for the first time in Cambridge, Massachusetts. 1864, the Army of the Potomac under General Grant breaks off from the Battle of the Wilderness and moves southward. Also in 1864, the world's oldest surviving clipper ship, the City of Adelaide, is launched by William Powell, Hay and Company in Sunderland, England, for transporting passages of goods between Britain and Australia. 1895, in St. Petersburg, Russian scientist Alexander Stepanov Popov demonstrates to the Russian Physical and Chemical Society his invention, the Popov Lightning Detector, which was a primitive radio receiver. Some parts of the former Soviet Union, the anniversary this day, celebrated as Radio Day. 1915, German submarine, the U-20, sinks the RMS Lusitania. Kills 1,198 people, including 128 Americans. Public reaction to the sinking turns many former pro-Germans in the U.S. against the German Empire. That same year, the Republic of China accedes to 13 of the 21 demands, extending the Empire of Japan's control over Manchuria and the Chinese economy. 1920, the Kiev Offensive. Polish troops led by Joseph Pilsudski and Edward Radziszmigli and assisted by a symbolic Ukrainian force capture Kiev, only to be driven out by the Red Army counteroffensive a month later. Also in 1920, the Treaty of Moscow. Soviet Russia recognizes the independence of the Democratic Republic of Georgia, only to invade the country 6 months later. 1930, 7.1 Salma's earthquake shakes northeastern Iran and southeastern Turkey with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 9. Up to 3,000 people were killed. 1931, a standoff between criminal Francis Crowley and 300 members of the New York Police Department takes place in his fifth-floor apartment on West 91st Street, New York City. 1937, in the Spanish Civil War, a German Condor Legion equipped with Henkel HE-51 biplanes arrives in Spain to assist Francisco Franco's forces. 1940, the Norway debate in the British House of Commons begins. At least the replacement of Prime Minister Chamberlain with Winston Churchill 3 days later. That was the early days of World War II. 1942, during the Battle of the Coral Sea, United States naval aircraft carrier attack and sink the Imperial Japanese Navy light aircraft carrier Soho. Battle marks the first time in naval history two enemy fleets fight without seeing each other. 1945, the last German U-boat attack of the war. Two freighters are sunk off the Firth of Forth in Scotland. Also in 1945, German General Alfred Jodl signs unconditional surrender terms at Reims, France, ending Germany's participation in the war. The document takes effect the next day. 1946, Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering, later renamed Sony, is founded. 1948, the Council of Europe is founded during the Hague Congress. 1952, the concept of integrated circuit, the basis for all modern computers, is first published by Jeffrey Dummer. 1954, the Battle of Dien Bien Phu ends in a French defeat and a Viet Minh victory. The battle began March 13th and ended May 7th. 1960, the U-2 crisis of 1960, Soviet leader Khrushchev announces his nation is holding America's U-2 pilot, Francis Gary Powers. 1976, the Honda Accord is officially launched. 1986, Canadian Patrick Morrow becomes the first person to climb each of the seven summits. 1992, Michigan ratifies a 203-year-old proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution, making the 27th Amendment law. The amendment bars U.S. Congress from giving itself a midterm pay raise. Well, they've since ignored that. 1992, the space shuttle program, the Endeavour, is launched on its first mission, the STS-49. 1992, three employees at a McDonald's restaurant in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Canada, brutally murdered and a fourth permanently disabled after a botched robbery. It's the first fast food murder in Canada. 1994, Edvard Munch's painting The Scream is recovered undamaged after being stolen from the National Gallery of Norway in February. Also in 1998, Mercedes-Benz buys Chrysler for $40 billion U.S. dollars and forms Daimler Chrysler in the largest industrial merger in history. 1999, Pope John Paul II travels to Romania, becoming the first pope to visit a predominantly Eastern Orthodox country since the Great Schism of 1054. Also in 1999, the Kosovo War, three Chinese citizens are killed and 20 wounded when a NATO aircraft apparently inadvertently bombs the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, Serbia. Also in 1999, in Guinea-Bissau, President Yayo Bernardo Vieira is ousted in a military coup. 2000, Vladimir Putin is inaugurated as President of Russia. And he's still there, folks. 2002, an Egyptian Air Boeing 737-500 crashes on approach to Tunis-Carthage International Airport, kills 14 people. Also in 2002, a China Northern Airlines MD-82 plunges into the Yellow Sea, killing 112 people. 2004, American businessman Nick Berg is beheaded by Islamic militants. Acts recorded on videotape and released on the internet. Quite a number of births and deaths on this particular date in history. However, holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day. I get this, the Byzantium. Agostino Rosselli, Pope Benedict II. Flavia Domitilia, Gisela of Hungary. Harriet Starr Cannon, in the Episcopal Church in the U.S., John of Beverly, Rose Venerini, Stanislaus, Roman Martyrology, Eastern Orthodox Liturgics for May 7th, Defender of the Fatherland Day in Kazakhstan, Dien Bien Phu Victory Day in Vietnam, and Radio Day, commemorating the work of Alexander Popov in Russia and Bulgaria. Well, you know, there is a lot of, let's see. I hate it when my system decides to go into business for itself. There we go. We're talking about ghosts in Texas. We got down to, yesterday, we got down to, yeah, we're just going to pick a place to start. We're going to start with Dallas. Actually, in Del Rio, Denim and Diamonds, believed to be haunted by a woman, and a number of photographs taken there have showed ectoplasm. Bear Creek in Dallas.
Sorry, I can't do that.
My watch is now talking. Bear Creek. It said that while driving on the highway intersection of Bear Creek, if you say the name of the street, something will happen unexpectedly. Then there's the Capitol building in Dallas. Reports of people walking around during the night hours, and employees have seen ghostly shadows. Then the CVS pharmacy, formerly Gus Thomason and Ferguson. On the corner of Ferguson Road and Gus Thomason is an Eckerd's. It's haunted by a man named Wayne. They said he was a late-night loader and an unloader. He was an honest family man until one day, at 6 a.m., going home after finishing his shift, three men assaulted him and robbed him. Now, these men had been doing this for a while now. Well, Wayne finally decided to defend himself this time. Not knowing the three men had a gun, he was shot three times in the heart and three times in the head. Employees say that in the upstairs part of the building where Eckerd's keeps its box products, Wayne makes his presence known. Employees say boxes mysteriously fall, the radio is turned on, there are cold areas, and footsteps are heard going up and down the stairs. All the things that Wayne used to do. Now there's the Flagpole Hill ghost. Near Flagpole here on Northwest Highway, there's a narrow horseshoe-shaped road with a lot of trees. There are a few obscured houses in between the trees. Once you start down this narrow road, you can't turn around. There's no place to do it. A mysterious event such as rocks flying from impossible angles coming toward the car. Unforeseen vehicle body damage have occurred. The local police force will verify this going back as far as 1976. Especially don't go there at night. Then there's Jerry's Supermarket in Dallas. At night on the second floor, the managers who close and lock the doors where they keep their merchandise hear noises, and they come running down the stairs, and now they only go up if they have somebody with them. Stores on the corner of Jefferson and Llewellyn. Then there's Lake Highlands High School in Dallas. Supposedly sometime in the early 1970s, a girl named Elizabeth jumped out of one of the second-story windows of Lake Highlands High School. This is off Church Road and White Rock Trail, which is right near Flagpole Hill. The most sightings are strange occurrences that have taken place in the auditorium, but the technical theater teacher claims he can sense the presence of the woman throughout the young lady throughout the school. Tools were found missing from locked tool rooms. Trash cans and other huge objects are thrown across the room. Doors which have hydraulics to keep them from slamming, were slammed shut, and random cold spots were felt throughout the area. Some kids from Lake Highlands High School, made a movie about it called Ghostlight, which I've not been able to find. Then in Dallas is the Lawrence Hotel, which opened in October of 1925. On a tenth floor, people report hearing crying and see shadows. Allegedly, a woman jumped or fell from the presidential suite back in the 40s. People often hear voices and footsteps and a lot of cold spots in and around what was the presidential suite. High-heeled footsteps are heard back and forth across the lobby between midnight and 6 a.m. A gentleman gambler on the second floor, where there used to be an illegal casino during the 20s and 30s, is heard. And there's a lot of movement in the basement area. Now, I got an update that someone sent me. Now, there are a lot of other internet rumors that the illegal gambling casino was in the basement. The casino was actually on the second floor. However, laundry carts have been reported by the staff to move on their own in the basement. The front desk often gets called from three rooms in the hotel on a regular basis that nobody's staying in at the time. Tenth floor has one room in particular, room 1009, where the staff say they try to open a door to the room, they get the resistance from the other side if somebody didn't want you to come in. And a lot of activity has been seen in this room. A congressman who lived at the hotel at one time also killed himself there, and he lived on the 10th floor. And quite often, people report hearing female voices in the hall when there's no one there. Also in Dallas is the LBJ House. Supposedly, there's blood on the walls in some areas of the house where the wife and children are sacrificed, and there's a really cold feeling if you stand in a certain spot. Now, nobody has ever said it happened to them. Everybody always knows someone had had it happen to them. The property's been abandoned for a while, and nobody will buy that particular structure. Then in Dallas is Millimore, a two-story Greek Revival home completed in 1861. It's the centerpiece of the old City Park Museum. Over the last 30 years, there have been continual stories of a haunting in that house. Many unrelated individuals, museum guests, volunteers, and staff have sensed the presence of a female spirit in that house. The activity seems to center around the former nursery and master bedroom, which is located on the second floor. Then there's the Millimore Mansion at Old City Park Museum. Now, the 1860s mansion was the home of the same Dallas family for over 100 years before becoming part of the museum. There have been a lot of stories told about a ghostly female presence on the second floor. Visitors, docents, and staff have all felt the presence. Sometimes it's more invasive than other times. Then in Dallas is Oak Cliff, the Combs Creek Street. There's a little girl on a bike that haunts a street called Combs Creek. It's down by the railroad tracks. The story is that a little girl was riding her bike on the railroad and supposedly got hit and run over by the train, and now she haunts the street that runs up to the railroad. Then there's Wilbur Street Playground, also in the Oak Cliff section. They say in the 1920s, a little girl got permission from her parents to go play in the playground of Wilbur Street, which is around a creek. A drunk driver lost control of his car and hit the girl, who was happily playing on the swings. People now say if you look closely at the swings, you can see this happy little girl still swinging and enjoying herself. Then there's Old Parkland in Dallas. Now, it's private property. And due to heavy demolition and safety concerns, the property owners have been overloaded with inquiries about paranormal investigations in and around the area. New management doesn't want the publicity of the rumors to be out there that their property is haunted. And a lot of trespassers have been prosecuted. Apparently there are quite a number of stories about paranormal activity there. Then there's the Pleasant Grove Christian Church. There have been a lot of reports that folks have seen children that run by and just disappear. Banging and howling noises come from all over the grounds. One witness took photos with a digital camera at this site and obtained pictures of floating orbs, a child's face in what was an empty hallway, and what appears to be an adult hand holding an axe. Now, the children's spirits are not too intense, but the adult spirit seems angry and wants to be left alone. There were a number of rumors about someone possibly murdering a child there with an axe, and that may lead to the face of the angry adult. Then also in Dallas is Riley Academy. The lights turned on and off, and a lot of strange sounds have been reported. Then, and also in Dallas is Snuffer's Restaurant. There's an unidentified ghost that's been reported by a lot of people. Then in White Rock Lake, there's the ghost referred to as the Lady of the Lake, or the White Lady. She's been seen at the lake and on the road by the lake, dressed in a 1920s evening gown and soaking wet. She asks drivers for a ride to a house on Gaston Avenue, where she disappears, leaving nothing but a wet stain on the seat. The story is she was the daughter of a wealthy family in her 20s. She was on her way home from a ball when her car was wrecked and it wound up in the lake. She drowned. Others in the car with her lived. The Turtle Creek Center that I have been to in Dallas. A successful businessman worked in this building during the 80s. His name was Harold. On the 13th of September 1989, he died from unexplained reasons in his office. It's about 9 in the evening. He's working late. His spirit has been seen in the fire exit and stairways by a few folks working in the building. They reportedly have seen a man walking between the 13th and 14th floors with blood falling from his eyes and a look of sheer death on his face. When they follow him down the hallway, he rounds the corner in front of him, and when they get there to the corner, he's gone. Then in Deer Park, Battleship, Texas. It's supposedly haunted by a sailor named Red. Some students encountered a wispy form that wandered across a hallway behind a locked screen door. Then in DeKalb, Texas is Crybaby Creek. It's said on a clear night you can drive to a bridge outside this small town and hear the screams of an infant. Story states that a mother and her baby had a horrible accident there, and the baby drowned in near freezing waters. It's believed the child's ghost still haunts the area. Then in Denton, Texas, University of North Texas, Bruce Hall. There's the spirit of a pregnant woman trapped in the building who in the 1930s tried to starve herself to cause an abortion. There have been sightings of a young woman roaming the halls when the building is closed. And there are a lot of minor annoyances that bother the students. Then also the University of Texas, North Texas, Union Suite 324. The CSR and the SLA offices of the university have a wandering ghost. Those who have extra work and stayed late after hours tend to hear the fax machine turn on and off. The ghost is nicknamed Randy, and it likes to lock employees in copy rooms and offices, run blank pages through the copier, and turn on and reboot the computers, which can be annoying if you're in the process of doing something and suddenly your computer reboots. Then in Diebold, the Diebold House. Owners of the house would have coinciding nightmares. They smell bad odors that seem to come from nowhere, and they have a feeling of being watched. There's strange banging noises, apparitions, and reports of being physically attacked, such as being smacked or thrown down, that have been reported by a lot of people. Then in Donna, Texas, is El Cascabel. It's an old bar that's out in the country. Been abandoned since the mid-90s. Said that two men got in a fight and one shot the other. The ghost can be seen at midnight, and it generally begins with a man leaning on the bar and drinking, even though there's no one else there. Security cameras have picked him up often until they shut the facility down, and then probably drinks all by his lonesome. Then there's the Silver Nugget Saloon, also in Donna. Late at night, some people have said they've seen lights turn on by themselves. Others said they've heard music and dancing and laughter coming from the building, even though it's closed and empty. then in Dumas Junior High. And in North Gym at Dumas Junior High, there's a group of junior high school girls practicing volleyball. After practice, everybody left except for one girl. No one came to pick her up, so she decided to go back into the gym, wait for her ride. The janitor, it said, went to the gym and saw the girl and wound up stabbing her, and then he killed himself. It said if you're there by yourself, you can hear the girl screaming for help and the janitor laughing at what he was doing. Then in Eagle Pass, there's the abandoned radar base. During World War II, there was a major Air Force presence there. There was a radar base that has long since fallen into disuse. Many teens have gone out to the abandoned base to party and reported seeing strange apparitions and other figures moving about the base grounds. Also in Eagle Pass is the old Texas Ballroom. In the late 1950s, it was said that an old man went crazy and shot himself in this building. If you take pictures, you won't be able to see him, according to the legend. In East Bernard, Texas, there's East Bernard High School. There's an old high school in a small town. In the gym, there are orbs and spirits literally everywhere. If you go down to the girls' weight room, the punching bag will start and then stop moving. Even ghosts have to work out, apparently. Then in Earth, Texas, at Spring Lake, Earth High School. Many students that have attended the high school have been killed over the years in car accidents. It's believed that some of them, possibly along with the teacher that was killed in a car wreck, haunt the gym, the auditorium, and the band hall. If you go into the gym alone, you can hear people talking in the girls' locker room. Now, nobody wants to go into the auditorium alone because the janitors reported hearing the same ghostly sounds every day when they're cleaning up. In fact, it's so bad they now turn the radio up full blast just so they won't have to hear it. White House is right in the corner on 18th Street and Schuner. This house has always been for rent, and people that move in don't stay more than 3 months. Due to extremely horrifying noises, they can't sleep, they can't get anything done, so they wind up moving out almost as quickly as they move in. Also in Edinburgh is Austin Elementary. A lot of strange sightings have been seen there. It's located just a quarter of a mile from Hillcrest Cemetery. It's said that late at night, you can see figures walking on the school grounds. If you approach them, there's nobody there. Then there is the Museum of South Texas History in Edinburgh. Formerly the old Edinburgh Courthouse and Jail. In the original part of the building, you get an eerie feeling as you walk up the stairs to the tower. Now, the tower is where they hung folks. I mean, I'm talking about convicted prisoners that were sentenced to death. It's recorded only one man was executed in the tower. However, some folks claim that a lot more than one was executed. You can feel the cold spot in the tower. Some claim the rope that's still hanging there swings back and forth if you're there by yourself. Shadows of a man hanging have been seen by some, and many people who have passed by the building at night claim to hear voices and sounds and wails coming from the original part of the building, which is where the tower stands. Then there's South Middle School, also in Edinburgh. A couple of years ago, a student fell from the west side staircase and died. At midnight, you can see a white body walking around that staircase. If you approach it, there's nobody there. Then there's University of Texas Pan American, the Troxel Hall Dormitories. Legend has it that a girl got pregnant by a young man who took her as a one-night stand, but she thought he really liked her. Found out she was pregnant, she attempted to give herself an abortion in her dorm room. She didn't think she could do so. She committed suicide. Some students living at Troxel say at night, sometimes I hear knocking on a certain door. And they hear voices. Then in El Dorado, the northeast section of town, time of day is really not involved in these unusual sightings. During daylight hours, voices of children playing and adults talking can be heard. At night, strange orbs can be seen floating along the roadway, some as large as a basketball. At some of the homes along the way, there's the sounds of dishes breaking, but the residents never find anything broken. Closets in these homes would have auras of foreboding, as if someone was staring at you as you passed. One homeowner shot a trespassing dog at night only to find that it vanished before his eyes. He shot it at point blank range and it just disappeared. As children walk from one home to another, they hear additional footsteps while walking along with them. During a family get-together, several family members slept out in the backyard under a nightlight placed in the yard. During the night, they woke up to see a hat that belonged to the owner of the house rise from the table, go about 6 feet in the air, go toward the back door. Once there, the screen door opened and the hat went on inside. Screen door shut after the hat entered. Now, what's interesting is there was no wind, and it was all done in complete silence. Let's talk about El Paso, Texas, the most haunted city in the country. Out near Anthony, it's the home of El Muerto, the dead one or the dead man. It's a common Mexican tale of a beheaded man who rides his horse through the desert with his head either carried in his lap or hung on a rawhide thong. El Muerto can also be found basically anywhere in West Texas, southeast New Mexico, or northern Chihuahua. I've talked to a number of people who claim to have seen El Muerto. Then there's the Chase Building. Now, on the top of the Chase Building is a restaurant. And there's a woman in a red dress who's said to haunt that restaurant. She'll be seen standing and looking up Mesa, which is the main drag through town. And strange red lights can be seen coming from the top floor at night if you're at a distance where you get a good look at it. Then there's Clint High School in the little community of Clint. And the old gym above the theater has been said that the body of a girl raped by a janitor can be seen hanging from a beam. And in the band room where all instruments are stored, you can hear somebody playing an instrument at night. And a lot of people who have been there say just being in that room gives an eerie feeling that makes you want to leave. Now, Concordia Cemetery is a historic cemetery. It began in 1835. Concordia was actually a land grant given to a family. And it was named Concordia after where the name was Stevens. And that's where he came from in Missouri. And his wife told him that one day somebody working for them would die and they needed to have a little cemetery. Well, she was known for if an animal was injured within 100 miles, it would find its way to her and she'd nurse it back to health. And she had a deer that used to follow her around. Well, something spooked the deer one night and it gored her and she died. And she was the first one buried in what became known as the family cemetery. Now, traffic noise is a factor when you're in there, and I've spent many an evening in that cemetery. But it's hard to explain the sounds of children playing and laughing at 2 in the morning. And there's one section of the cemetery that where scores of children are buried when they died during a smallpox epidemic. At one point, Fort Bliss was located there, and you can hear the hoofbeats of cavalry soldiers and general conversation in the area that used to be the parade ground. You really can't understand the words, but you recognize that you're listening to human voices. The Cristo Rey Catholic Church. Now, Mount Cristo Rey, which is in the southern part of town, is where during Easter especially, people walk up to the top of Mount Cristo Rey, which where there's a large statue of Christ. And it's quite the tradition to walk up there. If I've done it a time or two. Well, the church, Cristo Rey Catholic Church, is part of a cloistered convent. It's only open to the public during Holy Week, and many visitors have spoken of a kindly older nun dressed in traditional habit. She seems playing at the altar's communion rail and slowly fades away if you approach her. That can be somewhat, shall we say, disconcerting. Then there's Crockett Elementary. The building dates back to 1920s and served as a hospital for war veterans. Said on the second floor that a child, not knowing the history of the building, saw a man walking down the hall with a bloody gauze on his head and he had an amputated arm. I went there to do photographs for one of my books, and Around the door, the entrance, was one of the most beautiful military murals I've ever seen. It was very interesting, definitely that. Then there's Del Valle High School. It's been known that in the school, three young men killed band members. Now it's been known that at night you can hear the screaming of the victims as they run for their lives from the killer. Then there's Desert View Middle School. One night a coach came to the school and heard punching noises in on the lockers, but he couldn't find anybody. There's another story that a lunch lady got to the school early in the morning and saw a white figure run through the gym. There were no other students present, and when she tried to find out who it was, she never found anybody. Then El Paso Community College in the photo lab. Now, students and faculty reported hearing, feeling a presence in the back of the photo lab. The revolving door to the room is open by itself, and the curtain is open if somebody's watching you. And some students have even reported they felt somebody touching their shoulders and breathing on the back of their necks. Now, the school was built on top of the old Price's Dairy, and some believe this is an entity from the dairy has found a new home in the school photo lab. Some of the janitorial staff refused to clean the photo lab area after dark. They want nothing to do with the ghost. Then El Paso High School, the very first high school in the state, or at least in El Paso, that was built to be a high school. There's a hall that leads to a balcony that's closed off. Now, supposedly, in 1949, a young man broke his neck on the football field. His girlfriend, who was one of the cheerleaders, went in the building and went up on the second floor and jumped over what we would today call a food court. And every single day, mist and fog roam that particular hall, and there seems to be some gooey stuff hanging from the ceiling. Well, I had been told that that was just an urban legend until I talked to one of the security staff. El Paso Independent School District, of which El Paso High School is part, has its own police force. It's not security guards. It's police force. And they had to stand guard while the stairway and the balcony leading up to where the girl committed suicide was removed from the building. About 45 or so years ago, a teen killed herself by slitting her wrist in the hall, walked toward that balcony, and jumped. Now, that entire stairway and hallway was blocked off. Nobody can even tell there was a hallway there, but there's been a lot of sightings of a figure walking through what is now a wall. Then there's the El Paso Museum of Art, located on Montana. It's now been moved to the downtown area of El Paso. An old woman was sighted on various times. If you looking at you from a window on the top floor of the building on Montana, lights would flicker on and off, doors would open and shut, moaning sounds were heard coming from the basement. Now, I was there one evening taking photographs. I'd been to an event, and I was talking to the security guard who was making the rounds and locking up. Now, we were standing at the top of the stairs that went to the basement, getting ready to leave the building. Everything was locked when we heard a door open and shut in the basement. Well, I went with him as we toured the basement. Nobody there. We came back upstairs, got ready to go out, and heard the door open and shut in the basement again. This time he said he would just deal with it the next day. We went outside. All the lights were off except the security lights. Looked back and a light came on the floor in which we had been on. He looked at me and just shook his head and said, "Well, the ghosts are restless tonight." That's Contreras Elementary. High school was built on top of a cemetery, and in the girls' locker room, a girl named Mary said to be getting a towel when a large gate fell on top of her, put a deep wound in her neck. Later, this high school was turned into an elementary school. You go to the girls' restroom before you exit the back side of the school. You'll see five girls hung from the ceiling, and there'll be muddy handprints on the wall. Usually, whoever makes this sighting runs to get somebody. When they come back, everything's returned to normal. Evergreen Cemetery. Well, as you drive by the cemetery, you can see a boy standing on the sidewalk asking for a ride in the early hours of the morning. And near the railroad tracks that are behind the cemetery, there's a mist that's accompanied by a strong smell. Those who've tried to investigate the smell have never found anything. And those the young boys behind the gate, which is locked at sundown. Historical cemeteries don't stay open. Excuse me, they do stay open 24 hours a day. But Evergreen does have hours. Then also in El Paso is fire station number 9. Said that a firefighter died in a fire at this fire station. Actually, it was the fire captain. And the fire was in the building across the street. Well, they rushed out to fight the fire. And when they opened the doors of the building across the street, the fire flared. And the captain was seriously injured, and he died back at the firehouse. Now they'll hear the toilets flush at night at the fire station. And right before there's a major alarm, the doors will rattle as if someone's trying to open them. Now, at Fort Bliss, which is on the mesa right at the outskirts of town, is Building 4. Now, Building 4 was an old military medical center, and it was condemned for a decade or two. Now it's been renovated. There have always been stories of hauntings there ever since a medic was let down for accidentally killing a soldier who'd been shot in the chest back in the 50s. And even though it's condemned, certain soldiers of high rank are in possession of some keys that open the buildings once again. Now, I talked to a number of people who even spent the night there. In fact, if you look at, I wrote a book on the ghost of Fort Bliss. One of the ghosts that haunts Building 4 is a Medical Corps captain. And he's normally seen wearing an off-white Stetson, a white coat, black spit-shine boots. A number of people I know have actually seen him. Then there's Building 13, built in 1893 for the soldiers of the 18th Infantry. There was a soldier forced to retire because of his age, and the theory is he was a doctor. Well, he apparently went up into the attic and hung himself in the rafters. Building 13 later on became a building where they had the courts. The swinging doors in the courtroom have a habit of swinging by themselves. And a number of witnesses have seen a cavalry soldier walking through the halls at night. Now, interestingly enough, that building is across the parade ground from a house that used to be occupied by one of the generals that I knew. And his son said he'd wake up at night and look out across the parade ground, see the lights on in Building 13. And the I didn't know JAGs had generals, but apparently they do. One of the JAG generals, when he was a captain, was here at Fort Bliss. And he had gone to set up his evidence for the next day's trial. And he heard a sound and decided maybe he ought to be someplace else. Well, the easel he had just set up chased him across the courtroom and down the stairs. And he refused to go back in until the next day. Now, I told ghost stories one night in Building 13. I was sitting in the judge's seat. And a lot of the soldiers who wanted to hear the stories were at the council tables and in the gallery. And right behind the defense table was a door that opened into an unused part of the attic because part of the courtroom was made out of the attic. Well, right on the other side of that door was where the soldier had hung himself that was forced to retire. At least they think he hung himself. It could have been murder. Nobody knew for sure. But I didn't know the JAG had rigged the door. So I had mentioned where the guy hung himself, and I said I'd like to see it. And he said, well, sure, go open that door right there. Well, sitting at the council table was a very enthusiastic young lady who was going to help me. So she ran and opened the door, and the flashbang attached on the inside went off and scared the crap out of her. Quite an interesting evening. Then there's Foxglove Apartments. Late at night, you can hear what sounds like a cat jumping around on the furniture when you live in one of the apartments. You also see large fleeting shadows out of the corner of your eye, and when you look directly at it, of course, there's nothing there. And you can hear the sound of books slamming to the ground in the bedroom while the occupants are in the bedroom, which tends to be, not conducive to a good night's sleep. Then there's Henderson Middle School. There was a story making the rounds about six students who went to the place at night and heard footsteps following them through the building, and then as they walked down the dark halls, they heard somebody start to scream, and they decided it was time to go elsewhere. Then in Horizon City, which is on the outskirts of El Paso, there's Ascension Boulevard. If you on Ascension Boulevard going toward Mountain View High School, you can see a man walking. When you turn your lights off and look back, when either coming from the school or going towards it, you'll see a lot of bodies laying along the side of the road. Now, I've not seen it. I used to tell these stories when I did my radio show here in El Paso, and my producer took his girlfriend and went and looked. And he came back, and he said they definitely saw some strange things out there. Then also in Horizon City, the Carol T. Welch School, little girl got killed during the construction. Those in the building at night hear noises and see the ghost of the little girl. Then the El Paso Science Museum. Now, a lot of employees reported seeing Indians and a lady dressed in white. While opening the museum doors for the public one morning, witnesses saw a tall Indian man dressed like a chief staring at him from inside the exhibit hall. When they went toward him to see who he was, he vanished. The elevator sometimes goes up and down by itself, and exhibits seem to turn off and on randomly by themselves. And when you're there by yourself, you have the feeling that you're not alone. Then there's this J.C. Muchaca Apartments, which is not too far from where I'm sitting. It said these apartments were built on an Indian burial ground, and if you're there in one of the apartments late at night, you can actually hear footsteps and see dark, shadowy figures moving about the apartments. And then there are reports of things flying across a room, and if you leave the room, come back, you'll find things have been moved from the original place. Then there's the Kennedy Memorial Apartments, built on top of what used to be an old cemetery. There's a lot of unmarked cemeteries in El Paso area. Footsteps, crying has been heard. A little girl's always been seen running around, and you can actually see shadows move. Now, in the gym located at the Kennedy Memorial Apartments, late at night you can hear somebody playing basketball. And there's a stage, and quite often you see what looks like a figure standing in the center of the stage. The restrooms have issues. The water cuts on, the toilets flush by themselves, the doors slam. And when you're standing in the middle of the gym or even walking around, you feel like somebody pushes you. Security's reported this strange activity, but they've never found anybody, so they've chalked it up to a ghost. La Hacienda Restaurant. This restaurant's on the riverbanks at the Rio Grande. Now, it's now empty. It was owned by a man who went to Australia. And it began life as a home. It said on certain nights, the apparition of a woman can be seen walking near the restaurant, crying out loud and asking for her children who were supposedly drowned in the river. Then there's Loretto Academy. At night, the bell tower is illuminated. Bells don't ring anymore, and they haven't for years, but at night you can see the movement in the bell tower. Some say it's bats or birds, but others say this shadow wears the habit as the rest of the nuns teaching in Loretto. Many say this shadow represents the spirit or energy of a much-beloved sister who taught at the academy for many years and died of an illness, which kept her from continuing her duties at Loretto. Now, the Concordia Cemetery Association has documented her presence, as well as her personal information, and they even know where her final resting place is. Right behind Loretto Academy is a nursing home for the sisters. And I wrote my first book on ghosts with a lady who was in the medical field. And she called me one night, wanted me to come over there. And she took me to a window that faced the academy. And she said, "Watch the bell tower." And I did. And in a few minutes, I saw a figure come out of the shadows up on the bell. There's a catwalk on the bell tower. And she walked back and forth. It was a woman. And she appeared to be wearing the habit of a nun. And I said, "What's she doing?" She said, "She's saying the rosary." And when she finished the rosary, she faded away. A number of people have seen her. That nursing home is haunted as well by a former, the nurse in charge, who always wore those squeaky type of shoes that a lot of nurses like to wear, and she had a big ring of keys on her belt, and you'd hear those keys jingling as she walked up and down the hall. Then there's the main police department. The building itself used to be a hospital, and the room that gets the most activity was a surgery. It's currently the weight room. People have said they've been in there, and the radio will turn on and off by itself. The lights will go on and off, and people pass the room, see nobody in there, but they hear the weights machines operating. Then there's McKelligan Canyon. Now, the men's dressing room, now, McKelligan Canyon's where they put on a play periodically, and there's an amphitheater, and it's got dressing rooms. Now, the men's dressing room is said to have lights that flicker and the sound of somebody running across the room and banging into the walls. Supposedly, when that building is being built, one of the workmen had a medical emergency and died there, and apparently he has not left. Now, the Plaza Theater. Now, it's an old theater, built about the turn of the century, I think. Said to be haunted by a soldier. Died of a heart attack while smoking in the men's room. A man dresses in a military uniform has been seen on the right side of the stairs smoking a cigarette. And you can hear, in the basement, you can hear the sound of somebody choking. Now, I was given the opportunity to explore that building. It's not normally open to the public. They do performances there, but they don't let you wander around. And the when we went into the men's room, because you had to go down some stairs on the left side's a women's room, the right side's a men's room, and then there's a doorway that leads to a ramp, and you follow that ramp down to the basement. Now, the basement of that building, we're used to a basement being one room. This is not. This is passages and corridors and storage rooms. And we got to one point. I did an event there sponsored by the radio station where my show was at. And I was telling ghost stories. It was on Halloween. And when it was over, I was tired. I was ready to go home. And somebody asked the stage manager for a tour of the building. And he said, "Oh, yeah, we'll do one, and Ken's going to lead it." I said, "Ken ain't going to do nothing. Ken's going to go home." And he said, "No, you're here. You're going to lead it." Well, we're walking along a passageway that had very odd walls. They looked like rock. And I hit on one, and it was rock, but it had a little bit of a hollow sound to it. And I said, "Well, what is this?" He said, "Well, they built this. See, Fort Bliss originally was across the street. And this was where the cemetery was. Because around every military installation, you get a cemetery." And he said, "A lot of Chinese were buried in this area. And when they were building these passageways, they just made the passageways around where the bodies were found. Well, there's a lot of stories about ghosts in El Paso that had their origination in and around what was the original cemetery. Then there's the old railroad tracks. It said that a bus full of children died on that set of tracks, was hit by an oncoming train. And this is the story: if you stop and you put baby powder on your bumper and you sit there in neutral, your car will be pushed off the tracks. That story began in San Antonio, but I've heard a number of people tell me about it here. Then there's Sacred Heart Catholic Church. There have been at times a woman seen in a turn-of-the-century bridal dress by many parishioners weeping on the side chapel of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's believed to be the ghost of a young Mexican woman who's left at the altar, and she died not long after that. She keeps coming back, hoping she'll find her wandering groom waiting for her. Then there's an area called Six Poles. There's six large, old, telephone-type poles in this one particular area. It's near the interstate, where it's said that at night, a lady haunts the place. That area was used as a slaughter site for animals early in the century. And she said to work at that place and accidentally killed herself with a non-mechanical machine. And it said that late at night, her spirit returns to the place and she appears to carry her head on her waist. And every time you hear her moan, it sounds like she's in terrible pain. Then there's Thunderbird Road. If you drive down Thunderbird toward Mesa, you come up on a downward sloping hill. Go down the hill to the point where there's a slight upward slope. Stop, put your car in neutral, and turn off the lights. After a couple of seconds, you'll begin to roll up the slope with your speed increasing the longer you let it roll. Nobody seems to know why this happens. Now, I tested this one, because Thunderbird's not too far from here. And the car did move a little bit. Not all the way up the hill, but it did move. Then there's Trans Mountain Road. Many reports of a monk and a burro walking this road. Runs through the Franklin Mountains of El Paso, and it's caused a lot of traffic accidents. It said he's protecting a lost gold mine where Spanish missionaries were digging gold. Now, it is true, the Lost Padre mine is not too far from here. And during the Pueblo Revolt, it was decided that the monks who had their base here and actually crossed the river in Juarez were going to hide everything in the mine and then come back after order was restored. And you used to be able to go to the tower on the monastery and see the campfires of the workmen right outside the mine. Well, now they've built a cathedral between the old mission and this side of the river, so nobody knows where the old mine was located. But the monk with the burro was actually bringing food to those that were going to stay at the mine. And unfortunately, he vanished on his last trip. University of Texas, Cotton Memorial, and Seaman Hall. I've been to both of these buildings in the middle of the night, and you do see strange things and hear strange noises. I didn't hear any screams, which have been reported by others, but I did hear footsteps and the echoes of doors slamming. Then the Fox Fine Arts Building and the Recital Hall. There's a figure that many theater students see on the top balcony. Supposedly this individual fell. Then we've come to the end of another show. We'll be back tomorrow night when once again it'll be Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show. Until then, have a great evening.